what are the hot issues of the day with me to discuss it? The chairperson of the Committee for Small Government, Carla Howell. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Great to be here.
And despite my better judgment, making a return appearance from Fox 25, the man who owns the television airwaves every morning, weekdays, the lovely and talented VB. Good morning, VB.
Normally, I'd genuflect to you, but with Carla in the house,
absolutely,
I will do it to her because she's doing God's work.
She is doing God's work. And we're going to talk about question one, about the rally at 1 o'clock tomorrow, later in the show today. We're going to talk about the taxpayer bailout, a part of our, it's been a bailout week all the way around. But let's start, though, with the biggest recovery event, the biggest successful recovery event. Governor Sarah Palin recovering her reputation last night. The question about did she win, did she lose? Carla, I have to say that I think the best analogy I've been able to think of is it's Apollo Creed versus Rocky Balboa, a guy who's, you know, 36 years of debating, who's supposed to stomp her into the ground versus someone who shouldn't have been there, should have been like a stunt a la Rocky. And instead, she went 15, it looked to me like she went 15 rounds with him. Carla, what did you think?
Well, they both know how to talk. When they do, they're okay. She's pretty. He's got nice teeth. But you know what I look for when I listen to debates like this is, are they shrinking government or are they expanding it? Both these candidates are supporting this incredibly irresponsible bailout, mm-hmm, another whack at the taxpayer, and that's all I need to know about either of them, frankly.
VB?
Your analogy fails because this was no heavyweight title fight. That it was more like, you know, all of a sudden a pitcher gets hurt the day of a start, so they call the guy up from AAA. He goes four innings, leaves when it's like 5-4, mm-hmm, and then gets sent back down. And everyone's like, yeah, I was fine. Thanks for coming up. For both of them. They were, mm-hmm, both weak. The whole thing was weak. Again, the last thing I wanted to see when I tuned into the vice presidential debate was a vice presidential debate. And that's what I got, which was unfortunate.
You wanted Barney Frank versus Bill O'Reilly, didn't you?
That is the best TV I've seen in probably 10 years, notwithstanding the Fox 25.
I understand. And we're going to hear that audio later on. I mean, what I found fascinating is the once again, the partisan press, used to be the mainstream media, have shot themselves in the foot by they oversell everything. They insist that, you know, that she demanded rape kits for rape victims and they paid their own way. Turns out to not be true. They just look stupid. That she cut programs for special needs kids. Turns out to be true. They're not stupid. Carla Howell, if you had been following the media coverage and knew nothing about, Sarah Palin, wouldn't you have expected a close to mentally challenged knuckle dragger to walk up on stage with a shotgun over her shoulder and go, "Where's the moose?"
I really didn't, because I think overall she's pretty well spoken for somebody who's fairly new to politics. I don't care about this stuff. Let's talk about what really matters to people. Here you had two candidates, and they do what a lot of candidates do in debates these days. It's like, it reminds me of a football quarterback saying, 7, 26, 96, hike. They sit around, they talk about how many tax hikes, tax cuts they voted for. I voted for 94. I voted for 427 tax cuts. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Let's go back to second grade arithmetic here. If you look at government budgets, whether it's the federal budget or the state budget, they're going up.
Right.
They're going up a lot. The Massachusetts state government budget is going up $1.3 billion every year. Well, $1.4 this year. The federal budget is going up just unbelievably. Mm-hmm. And they pretend that they're cutting taxes. They're not cutting taxes. They're increasing taxes continually and putting this huge burden on the backs of the taxpayers of Massachusetts and nationwide. They're doing it at the state level, mm-hmm, here in Massachusetts. That's why we have a vote for you, question one, to end the income tax this November. And they're doing it at the federal level, whether they're devaluing the dollar, pretending to cut taxes while they're increasing spending.
Carla Howell, the chairwoman of the... I stumble over these gender-specific words. The boss of the committee... for small government. You know, VB, that's the answer I'd expect from Carla, slashing the way. But the fact is, last night, Senator Joe Biden made a direct, factually ridiculous statement in which he said that Obama and John McCain both voted for the same tax increase, and John McCain did not even vote in that vote. It just didn't happen. There was a day when wouldn't you have expected the media to maybe pointed a few things of these things out?
But that was a disappointment with Palin. And I mean, it's obvious. But again, the minor league pitcher analogy gets called up. She got a couple of outs and people went, what? she can get some outs. Then she got it. She had so many opportunities, and I know you were sitting there at whatever strip club you were watching it at, screaming at the monitor, going, "Hey, huge opening! Would you hit back?" But she never did because she was so scared about what the next question was going to be and whether she'd have anything to say that she never called him on any of it.
But you know, what's interesting to me is what is the number one issue of the day? It is the bailout, right?
Well,
and they barely talked about the bailout last night.
To me, if we're going to do substance, which who wants to talk substance in a vice presidential debate? But the most telling moment of all was when Gwen Ifill, who was said, "Does the bailout represent the best or the worst that Congress has to offer?" And what did Biden say in classic, "I think a little of both," and then went on this rant about McCain. And Palin never went back to it. That's red meat to Republicans, which is, this is the worst. Bring up the wooden arrows, bring up the Jamaican rum, bring up the NASCAR tracks. She didn't do anything. She sat there and said something about energy.
And by the way, the correct answer is yes. It is a good display of the worst of Congress.
The absolute worst.
Absolute worst.
And no one said that. Why not?
Why didn't one of the two look at this bailout that I hate, that the vast majority of my listeners hate, that polls shows the American people don't support? Why didn't one of the two of them go in cleats high and take it on? Why not, Carla Howell?
Because they're not distinct. They can't distinguish each other because they agree.
They
both support it, so they have to go to trivia. This is Carla Howell's axiom of political candidates, most political candidates. The difference between any two candidates, particularly Democrats and Republicans, is smaller than the difference between any one of those candidates, what they say they will do, and what that candidate will do if he or she is elected. In other words, throw a dart, it doesn't matter. They are both supporting this devastation of a frail, fracturing financial system in this country.
But Carla Howell, that raises my point. Why are they supporting it? It's because I believe that we have a bunch of citizens who, while we grouse about who's getting the bailout, we believe in bailouts. We believe in bailing people out. I want to play this audio.
Let me
get to that second. Do you have the Joe Biden talking about the mortgages, but what he wants judges to do? I have to tell you, DB, I must have been getting a drink or shooting up some more heroin or whatever I was doing last night. Actually, I used $2 bills. That impresses the dancers a lot more. And I missed it. Listen to what a guy, he says that the president, Obama, he says this is Obama's position. This is what a president of the United States wants to do to private property and your money in the United stinking states of America.
What we should be doing now, and Barack and Obama and I support it, we should be allowing bankruptcy courts to be able to readjust not just the interest rate you're paying on your mortgage to be able to stay in your home, but be able to adjust the principal that you owe. That would keep people in their homes, actually help banks by keeping it from going under. But John McCain, as I understand it, I'm not sure of this, but I believe John McCain and the governor don't support that.
Now, half the things Joe Biden said last night turned out to be factually inaccurate. But let's hope he's right, Carla Howell, that John McCain doesn't support it. But do you think America heard that and was shocked? Or do you think America heard it and went, "Yeah, stick it to the banks. I want some free money. Give me $30,000 back on the house that I agreed to pay for," when he talks about cutting the principal, literally stealing the money from the person who loaned it to you. Carla Howell, where is America?
I think those who were still awake at that point in the debate were outraged. Outraged. People hate this level of irresponsibility. Now, I think there does need to be negotiation going on, but it has to be done by the banks, the mortgage holders, the people who took the risk, who made the bad loans. They need to renegotiate. They need to take a hit. If part of that is giving a break to the homeowner, so be it. But don't bring it back to the taxpayer.
VB, do you think she's right? Do you think the typical person objects to that? Or are they going, "Yeah, stick it to the banks. Give me some free money"?
To ask the questions, the answer it isn't. It is a state senator in Massachusetts who wouldn't have had to look behind her bureau for that mortgage check if he got his way.
Exactly.
Why do we even have to buy houses? Why do we have to put down payments? It's just free. Sign up.
I'll have the judge just say, you know, Bank of America, give Michael Graham a house. Carla, I wish people agreed with the principle of small government, but I think what we're seeing in this debate is that the only choice is between big government and bigger government, because the American people, the bailout babies that we are, want somebody to come take care of us.
Well, the debates, the presidential election, and many elections only allow big government politicians in the final round. That's the general rule. Most people don't vote anymore. That's the real majority of Americans. They're disenfranchised. They don't vote. They don't want big government. And if you want to know specifically the truth to that, there's been poll after poll by major national polling firms asking people, do you want bigger government and more taxes, or smaller government, fewer services, and lower taxes? Mm-hmm. And the majority, 50 to 66%, right, every single time, they want smaller government.
And you know, people are happy, BB, to cut your services so that they don't have to pay taxes. But you say to them, you're going to lose 5 books in your local library, and they go, "Ah! Raise taxes on a rich person." I'm Michael Graham, Carla Howell, the Committee for Small Government, VB, the Committee for Outstanding Morning Television on Fox 25, here to discuss the bailout, here to discuss question one, the taxpayer bailout, and the events of the week here on our That's a Wrap. Carla Howell from the Committee for Small Government and VB. And in the interest of fairness, unlike last night, VB, I'm going to go back and forth. We started with Carla Howell in the last segment. We'll start with you. Gwen Ifill
must
let
be
Joe,
a tough question.
Gwen Ifill let Joe Biden start. She let Joe Biden finish. But we're looking at this big bailout and the vote that's going on right now. Why didn't Governor Sarah Palin punch Joe Biden right in the face over this massive insider Washington Beltway 36-year bailout program that we all hate?
I would have. Right off the bat, that's what I would have started with, which is that you guys screwed it up in the House. Now we've given you a week, and what does the Senate do? They turn a 3-page document into a 400-page document. They add $150 billion to it, and then you go down the list. We're talking wooden arrows. We're talking Jamaican rum. We're talking NASCAR bailouts.
Who knew the key role that America Samoa played, Carla Howell, in our economy and Wall Street? But why didn't she punch him, BB?
I don't know. First of all, I don't know why McCain voted for this thing. I still haven't heard that. That's problem number one. But even still, she should have nailed him on that, and she should have hit him over and over again.
Carla, wasn't this a huge opportunity? America's against it. Washington's for it. Why not?
Let's talk about why lawmakers shouldn't even be in the business of voting on these financial bailouts. They have no financial qualifications except one, and that is accepting financial donations from these banks and investment firms.
Now, Carla, let me interrupt. Who is a better expert on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac than Chris Dodd, who's taken a record amount of money from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Who's better at understanding finances than Chris Dodd, who took $13 million from the finance industry?
Well, he and a whole long list of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just wouldn't even let them vote?
They should table every single vote on this. They should go back to school,
right,
and bring in people who know how to dismantle the government intervention that's ruining the financial markets now. That's the problem.
By the way,
the problem is these people in the first place.
Now, by the way, Vivi, if you want to yell at Carla Howell or Mike, you guys go right ahead. Don't feel like you need to be moderate or
reasonable. You've gone from Gwen Ifill now to...
I'm now going to Jim Laird. Right. You guys mix it up. Yell at each other.
You know, this thing is so glaringly disturbing. It's unbelievable, this bailout. And what you got here is basically like... You know, your kids are fighting, and you say, okay, kids, tell you what, stop fighting, and we'll go out for pizza. And they sit there for about 2 minutes, and then one of them has to throw a punch. These guys in Congress know that they've been given a humongous opportunity to put it all aside,
right,
and for once do the right thing. And guess
they
what?
They can't do it.
They are physically incapable of it, as represented by Pelosi with her speech-ripping Bush.
And represented by Barney Frank, who still won't admit... And look, we know the story, right, Carla, right, Bibi? We know the story that we had a policy to promote home ownership, okay? I don't agree with taxpayer subsidized loans. Carla, do you?
Right.
But we decided to get in that business. That was a mistake. Then we went to Fannie and Freddie and said, you're going to buy every subprime loan you can get your hands on and put the taxpayers on the hook for $1 trillion worth, not just of loans, but of subprime loans. And then Wall Street took that guaranteed money. And why wouldn't they? We're guaranteeing it. And they said, well, I'm not going to leverage this like risky money. It's not risky. I'm going to leverage it more and more and more because it's guaranteed, and those guarantees got us here. Barney Frank is on Fox News Channel last night with Bill O'Reilly. He still won't even admit the truth.
I said it wasn't a good investment.
Yeah, and you said going forward, we're going to be swell. From August 07th to August 08th. Stop the BS here. Stop the crap. From August 07 to August 08, under your tutelage, this industry declined 90%. 90%. Oh, none of this was your fault. Oh, no. People lost millions of dollars. It wasn't your fault. Come on, you coward. Say the truth.
Coward.
You're a coward. You blame everybody else. You're a coward.
That's about the level of intelligence we're seeing from these lawmakers who are writing the laws that have unbelievable, unprecedented implications to our economy. What we need to do, you know, I'm not usually an advocate of calling your congressman and begging them to vote a certain way, because they don't listen by and large unless you're giving them money and they're with you anyway. But this may be an exception. A lot of people are calling their congressman, and they should. Barney Frank has Earl Schley running against him for this election here. There's others being challenged. John Cunningham is challenging Markey. There's others throughout the state. Call up and say, vote against this thing or you're out of office.
But you're being very reasonable and rational, so you're throwing me off here. So calm down, Carl. I want to get back to you, VB. Wasn't it so satisfying to hear Bill O'Reilly call that gutless sack from Newton a coward?
Stop the BS. Stop the crap.
I wish.
I mean, it was great.
And it was great.
He did represent the frustration of America right there. He had a chance to tell Congress, in this case Barney Frank, what he thought of him, and he did.
But
was it journalism? No. Was it great TV? Yes. And you know what? I applaud him for doing it.
But there is a journalistic, you know, a tiny grain that he grew into a field of outrage, which is Barney Frank has never said, you know what? Us pushing banks and using coercive power of government to make loans for $200,000 to people that I wouldn't loan $200 to on a Saturday at a race was a mistake. He doesn't have to say that it was immoral or stupid or blah, blah. He can just say, you know, it's a mistake. But Barney Frank can't do it, Carla Howe, because people in government can never admit that their fundamental premise, which is your tax dollars to my friends, is a mistake.
That's right. They don't admit mistakes in general, but and occasionally they do. But what's worse is that they just won't give up this myth that big government, high taxes, micromanagement of the economy, micromanagement of the complex financial sector has any place for people like Barney Frank or any of them. They're not qualified.
Doesn't it frustrate you as the chair of the Committee for Small Government to hear this new narrative that's been invented about the Freddie Fannie fiasco, which is, if only we had more government. Last night, Joe Biden was attacking Sarah Palin and John McCain for supporting deregulation like it was a lack of government that got us in this mess.
Michael, I am so with you. You cannot repeat that enough times. They are the people who got us into this mess with artificially low interest rates, all these subsidy programs giving away risky loans, and there's hundreds of bills at the state and local level. It's immensely complicated. All these lawmakers who know nothing about finance jumping in and trying to micromanage the economy. We need the reverse. Right. We need to get them out of it.
And you'll be thrilled to know that less than 8 weeks ago, VB, we committed $300 billion for individual bailouts for people who made bad loans. And here in Massachusetts, Governor Patrick has committed millions of dollars to subsidize bad loans too. The only thing we can do, VB, is not give them the money in the first place. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why question one is the key. And when we come back, we're going to talk about question one.
You interrupted me, you coward.
Listen, wimp. I want to talk.
Stop the crap. Stop the BS.
Nobody does your show.
You don't talk the truth on this show. Stop the BS.
So when we come back, the truth about question one and why every rational person must vote yes to question one. You cannot be serious intellectually and vote no to question one. It's just not possible. I have two events this weekend, Carla. Two things I must do. One is take my 15-year-old son and his friends to see American Carol. And the other is 1 o'clock tomorrow, Faneuil Hall, to rally on behalf of question one. For people just tuning in, people under a rock, or maybe Joe Biden, could you explain what question one is and why we should support it?
Question one to end the Massachusetts state income tax will be on the ballot. You can vote for it. You can vote yes on one, November 4th. Make sure you're registered by October 15th, especially if you've moved. Here's the deal. $3,700 each for 3,400,000 taxpayers in Massachusetts. That's the average amount that you'll get back if we win this election on November 4th. Vote yes. Say no to passing on the polls this time. Say yes to going. Vote yes on question one. This will create new jobs in Massachusetts. This will force the legislature to streamline and cut the waste from the Massachusetts bloated, wasteful government budget. It will get rid of failed and flawed big government programs that you've never heard of, that don't work, that no one's even paying any attention to. It will make the legislature accountable to you, the workers and taxpayers of Massachusetts, and not the government employees, lobbyists, and special interests who are now controlling the state and driving up up our spending, driving up your taxes. This is a tremendous opportunity. We can save home foreclosures, bankruptcy. That's the real bailout, as Michael will tell you much more about.
The taxpayer bailout, absolutely.
The taxpayer bailout. That's what a yes on question one is about. We're rallying for it tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Faneuil Hall. It's going to be incredible. We have about 10 speakers. They're just going to blow your minds. You're going to sit there and say, oh, my God, we need to start by ending the income tax and then figure out what other taxes we need to reduce as well.
Well, let's start one at a time here in Taxachusetts, if we can. VB, are you going to vote yes or no on question one?
Obviously, I'm voting yes. Carla oversells it. Keep it simple. This is your way to give a finger to the Beacon, Hill. That's it. Give them the finger. You know, we're supposedly facing the biggest fiscal crisis in our time. Have you heard from Sal?
Sal DeMacy?
Yeah.
No, he has not given me a call.
Has Therese talked to you?
No, not
the two leaders, the two people running the state, haven't felt like they need to come to the microphones and explain to us how they're going to help us and what we're going to do and how we can get out of this. Right. They don't care. They have no idea. They don't know. You got to give them the finger. This is the way to do it. You have to vote yes on question. You're crazy if you don't.
This is what I don't, as I listen to people, Carl, and I hear a lot of objections. People say we absolutely can't vote for question one because we have to have the money. I keep saying to them, show me any indication that we've reached a crisis point in state government that we have to give them the money. The double dipping on the pensions goes on right now. Even the poster child issues, police details, which Governor Patrick has made some tiny little movement on, we're still going to be wasting at minimum $45 million a year just on one little teeny line item, police details. The size of the state payrolls not changing, not one bit. We're still spending $880,000 per road, state road mile of roads, but only 5% of that goes for maintenance. We still have, what do we have, EB? We got a Mass Turnpike Authority. We got a Mass Highway Department. We got the MBTA. We got the Phil's extra road guy who needs a job because I'm someone's cousin. Have you seen any indication anywhere, either of you, that state government is desperate for money? All I see is them still spending like a drunken sailor.
Times are tough. That's why we need that commuter rail to New Bedford. And we're going to have the trains going to Worcester. I mean,
and,
it's silly.
And gazebos and everything else. There's about 500 governmental agencies and entities that they're not talking about. They like to go straight to the things that you care about, which represent a teeny, teeny, tiny fraction of the $47.3 billion that the Massachusetts state government is spending every year. And that doesn't include
that
local.
Again?
$47.3 billion. Don't believe that $28 billion number they throw out.
That's just the local money.
That's what the state budget.
No,
that's
what I'm saying, but that's just Massachusetts-generated state money. We've got the federal money they dumped down on top of it.
Well, that's inside some of the 28, but there's three other budgets I don't like to talk about. My favorite one is the non-budgeted items.
Budget.
The non-budgeted items. A politician could come up with a name like the non-budgeted items budget?
That came from the Department of Redundancy Department.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I think so. I think.
Really?
Yeah, but the key to this is, and the way you can read it is how scared they obviously are, right, and how they're making no bones about how scared they are. Again, why do you think all of a sudden police details
exactly
is coming? Why do you think the stuff that we've been talking about for years is happening? They are scared of this, which is another reason you've got to do
it. Listen, Governor Deval Patrick yesterday on this radio station talking about 7% cuts in some agencies and actually talking about finally getting rid of the Turnpike Authority, which should have been done a decade ago.
Yeah.
Why do you think
eons?
Well, no, but my point is they're only talking about it. Why are they even talking about it? It's because they're scared of the listeners of 96.9 and the voters who are going to go out and actually pass this income tax repeal.
They are. And, you know, there's been some great columns written in favor of a vote yes on question one. One of them was by Howie Carr, and he pointed out, it was great, he opened with saying that the Governor Patrick's, what do we call them, gestures, are like, Popeye analogy. He said, I'll gladly fire one $100,000 a year toll taker next year if you vote no on one in November.
That's right.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name, Carla. Who was that?
That was a Boston Herald, one of my fellow Boston Herald writers, Howie, what's his name, over at the Boston Herald. I write for the Boston Herald.
Yeah.
And I will be writing about this next week, by the way, Carla, as
well.
But I don't think people get. You make the satisfying Bill O'Reilly argument, VB, the calling them coward argument, you say give them the finger. But Carla, more than just a finger, this is more than symbolic, isn't it? You pointed out there are certain things that will legally happen if this measure is passed, what's the first thing that happens, Carla? Besides lawsuits from the state to try to stop it, what's the first thing that happens?
This January 1st, a 50% cut in your income tax, your Massachusetts state income tax, the remaining 50% is eliminated 1 year later. So within 14 months of this election, mm-hmm. no more Massachusetts state income tax. And but, it's a binding
well,
referendum.
Here's the deal. That second half is never going to happen ever under any circumstances. It's never going to happen in Massachusetts because we don't have a constitutional government. We have an oligarchy. But the first half is almost impossible to stop, isn't it?
Oh, now, did you see the Berlin Wall coming down, Michael? Mm-hmm. Who knows what's possible? One of the great things about question one is...
I have to interrupt you right there. Carla, that was only the Soviet Union. This is Beacon Hill. VB, is Beacon Hill ever going to obey the law even after we pass a total income tax repeal?
I hate to quote Bill O'Reilly again, but stop the BS, Carla. Stop the crap. This is never going to... You know,
Now, wait a minute, guys.
The first part, VB, is almost impossible to stop.
Nothing is impossible. But again, they have constitutionally mandated term limits for New York City. Guess mm-hmm. who's running for a third
right.
term? It's not...
But you know what? They said that this vote, Jim Browdy said it would get 7% of the vote. The polls said it would get 24 to 37. The week before the election back in 2002, when we had a similar end the income tax initiative on the ballot, it got 45%, and it could get much more this time. Mm-hmm. The polls are in a dead heat this time. Yeah. So
but what happens
anything is possible. We don't know what's possible, and what this could do is re-energize the people in Massachusetts who haven't voted, the disenfranchised, the people who pay for government but get very little in return for it. They may start running for office. Hint, hint, hint. There's people talking about it right now. There's a number of candidates who are coming out in favor of question one. There was none 6 years ago when we ran this, but they're starting to get on board. Some are going to be at a rally tomorrow at Faneuil Hall at 1 o'clock.
Faneuil Hall, 1 o'clock. I'll be there. I urge you to be there. But VB, could you quote Sal DeMacy for us on this subject when he said, I have no, what is it he said? No inclination
to follow the will of
myself doing that in the future. But I know people are hurting, and I know people want to send a message, maybe, at some point in time that their taxes are too high.
I have no inclination to do this.
But, you know, again, if you know Beacon Hill, the beauty of this is, I know there are those people that outthink themselves and go, geez, but I don't know. I can't have all that money leaving. It's not going to. That's why you're giving them the finger, because they're not going to do what happens as a result of this. That's why the vote on this has to be like 80-20 so that we can say with definitive, the voters spoke and you gave us the finger
back.
More
votes,
that's when you start to get the revolution, Carla. That's when you start to get
better.
People voted out.
We've already started a revolution with 45%. We're coming back with the next round with a rematch. So anything is possible here. And notice they won't say. I mean, Therese Murray, Senate President, says, people need to understand this is a binding referendum.
Right.
Michael Widmer says this would be political suicide. The teachers union is spending $5 million, we're told, on advertising to stop this. Are they wasting the members' money, their dues' money, with all this advertising?
I hate to be moderate because it's not who I am fundamentally, but I think the truth, I think the pragmatic truth is halfway between you. It will be impossible, VB, for them to ignore it completely. But it is also wildly unlikely, Carla Howell, with the Committee for Small Government, that Beacon Hill will actually obey the law. They blatantly flaunt the law. They have no... We had the governor before...
Time to kick them out.
We had the governor before the same-sex marriage vote actually saying to legislators, I know the law says you have to have a vote. Don't do it. Ignore the Constitution. That was our governor calling for blatant, shameless violation of the Constitution. So much want to talk about. By the way, if we can get a couple of calls on, we'll try to. If you have a question about question one, if you have a question about the Pragmatic Park, a question about the rally on tomorrow at Faneuil Hall, 617-822-1969. Carla Howell, the Center for Small Government. VB, the Center for, what was it? Large Waistlines?
Big.
Big Waistlines. I'm Michael Graham at 96.9
WTKK. 96.9
WTKK.
I'm hoping that the people of Massachusetts don't vote that way. And I'm asking them not to vote that way. I don't support voting that way.
Make Speaker Sal DeMacy mad. Vote the way he doesn't want you to vote. He says vote no to question one. I say vote yes. So does the chairman for the Committee for Small Government, Carla Howell. VB from Fox 25 Morning News is here as well. We've got a couple of questions. You guys ready to take a couple of questions? And then don't forget, Tom, before we finish up, that's a wrap from D'Angelo. We have to play some of the Obama dance to go out with, okay? So have the Obama dance ready. No, I'm serious. You got to hear the Obama dance. It's too good. We'll start with Terry. Terry, you're on 96.9 with Carla Howell, VB, and Michael Graham. Go right ahead.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine.
I was just calling because I was curious to know that with, I believe in the reduce of the state tax rate, but where are they going to get the, where's the state going to get the taxes now, the loss in that revenue? Are, they, are my real estate taxes going to go up?
How about it?
That's the whole point. We're cutting government spending. We're replacing that cut with nothing, with you keeping the money. We're transferring $12.6 billion out of $47.3 billion. That's a total that the state government spends. And that's not including the additional $22 billion that the cities are spending, okay? We're taking $12 billion, a 27% cut, putting that back into the private sector, back into the hands of 3,400,000 men and women who earn that money in Massachusetts so they can invest it, spend it, save it, or give it away in their own families, in their own communities.
Aren't they going to raise other taxes?
Yeah, and they're going to get it from the income tax. Because they're not going to do anything. They're not going to let this happen.
Look, here's the deal. Take away the revenue stream, and you know that there's $13 billion of our money, $3,700 per person approximately, that we've got. And if they, and then we can fight them tooth and nail on the other stuff. But you got to start by getting your money back.
That's right.
I want to get another call on because we're running out of time here. Rich, you're on 96.9. Thanks for the call, Rich. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm not really sure how I feel about question one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not a liberal. I love John McCain. I'm a gun-loving American and all that business.
Don't shoot.
but I'm a teacher in the state. And, you know, my union's preaching to me. I'm in the MTA. The union's always telling us, you know, vote no on it. You know, because it's going to take money away from us. But at the same time, I'm with you on it's the people's money. And it belongs to us, but I don't know. I mean, I'm looking for somebody to convince me.
Rich, I tell you, let's let Carla Howe have a shot at it. Why should Rich vote for question one? He's a teacher, Carla. He's worried about paying the bills at his school.
The state and local government spend a total of $70 billion. $70 billion a year, about. $10 billion of that on schools. Now, what's happening with the other $60 billion? They spend an even teeny tiny fraction of that on police and fire. They like to pretend that this is the only thing in their state budget. But what about things like the Architectural Access Board, the Asian American Communities, the Commission on Indian Affairs, the Citizen Information Service?
That's very important.
This is one of 500 agencies they never talk about. And within all of the agencies within government, we need to do what's called zero-based budgeting. Open up the books. If you're honest, Rich, I believe you are an honest man, and you would say, maybe not on the air, but I've heard teachers all over the state tell me there's waste in the schools, look, there's waste in the police departments, there's waste everywhere we need to get rid of.
We need a taxpayer bailout, particularly after the screw job. Do you predict the bailout, by the way, VB is going to pass?
Yeah, and the bailout is the perfect example of why you should vote for it, Peter or Rich. You know, if you're going to want to be one of those senators who say, I really don't like it, but we got to do it, then go ahead and vote against it. Or if you want to be principled, stand up and again, give the double finger to Beacon Hill. You have to vote yes on this.
You deserve a bailout. If we can bail out Wall Street and Barney Frank's buddies and that disastrous program that they've got, you deserve a bailout too. Carla Howell, thanks so much for joining us here on 96.9 GKK. VB, always good to have you back.
Stop the BS, you coward.
Let's go out with a little music for Jim and Marjorie. They need a 1 o'clock tomorrow, Faneuil Hall. Thank you, Carla. 1 o'clock tomorrow, Faneuil Hall, a rally to defend question one, to support question one. How about a little music to get Jim and Marjorie in a good mood after Joe Biden got his clock cleaned last night?
Yep, it's all right to celebrate ahead of time. And when the homie make it, we gonna press rewind. So put your vote where your mouth
there
is.
There it is.
Make it count.
The Obama song.
This is gonna
dance.
What change
Excuse
is all
me.
About. Get your mind in motion and give it a chance. Even Oprah Winfrey is doing this.
That's right. I'm Michael Gray. See you Monday here on 96.9 FTKK.
Obama to the left, now step to the right.
Woo! To the right.
If you're going vote for Obama to the right.
Michael Graham.
If anyone knows how to fight taxes, it's the people of Boston, and that's what we'll be doing this Saturday starting at 1 o'clock at Faneuil Hall, a rally to fight to repeal the state income tax. Hey, you've seen the Wall Street bailout, the banker bailout? This is your chance to support the taxpayer bailout. That's 1 o'clock tomorrow at Faneuil Hall. Be there.
Michael Graham, weekdays 9 to noon.
On Boston's 96.9.